make it so easy you can't avoid doing it. It's episode 9, season 2020, The Power of Others podcast. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here. The website is thepowerofothers.com. Yeah. Easier way to get there? growgreat.com. As much as I love the anonymous quote, everything is hard until it's easy, there's a powerful way to move forward toward an accomplishment, and that is make it so easy you can't avoid doing it. There's lots of ancient wisdom about tackling a task by breaking it down into smaller tasks, hence the idea that's expressed as a question, do you know how to eat an elephant? Yeah, one bite at a time. And as simple as it sounds, I started wondering, why don't we do this very well? I mean, you would think that such a tactic would prevent feeling overwhelmed. It would enable us to more effectively achieve our goal. Then why are so many people overwhelmed? Why are so many people struggling to march towards some big goal? Well, there are likely a ton of reasons. Having a cluttered mind, that's one of them, overthinking. And then there's the opposite of that. There's not thinking enough. There's not thinking it through enough, not breaking it down into smaller achievements. It's easy. It's easy for us to do one or the other. Frankly, I think it's easy for most of us to do both. Yeah, at the same time. Fixating on the big goal. Is that the way to go? You know, people love talking about big, hairy, audacious goals. You know, people call them BHAGs, B-H-A-Gs, big, hairy, audacious goals. And we are ashamed if we don't have one. Well, we're ashamed if we don't have a bunch of them. People want to do something great. People want to do something big. Question, what was the last big thing that you accomplished? Yeah, go ahead. I'm here all day. Take your time. I ask this question, and regularly I get blank stares. I mean, people have a really hard time thinking about the last really big, big thing that they accomplished. Yes, occasionally there's the big sale. There may even be the big merger. There may be the big acquisition. But these are not ordinary, everyday things. Well, unless that's your business. I would hope that every day you're able to accomplish some meaningful things, but it's very likely that none of those things fit the bill for being something really, really big. I mean, except for heroic acts during a crisis, most big things are not accomplished in a short period of time. I mean, even feats of championship athletics, they contain thousands and thousands of hours or days before the accomplishment. And in business or in school or a career, the big accomplishments of our time, mostly they don't have some moment that defines the outcome. I mean, that is, very rarely are we able to go back and to point to a specific moment and point to that as that's the moment when we accomplished our big, hairy, audacious goal. Now, I say that, and I'm recording, this is the end of February, and just this past weekend was the 40th celebration of the Miracle on Ice. You know, the 1980 men's Olympic hockey team that beat the Soviets in the semifinal game. That wasn't the final game. And it was a huge, huge moment. And of course, then they beat the Finnish team in the championship game. And that was, okay, there was a gold medal moment. But these guys had been together for 6 months. Herb Brooks had been coaching and coaching and coaching, and these guys had put in rigorous training. In fact, the day after they beat the Soviet team, Herb Brooks put them through what many of them said was one of their toughest practices ever in advance of the championship game. Pretty brilliant move in retrospect to make sure these guys were focused. These guys were putting in the work. Okay, even their athletic moment of glory. And there was just a lot of time and a lot of effort that went into it. Most of us, we don't have that kind of a pivotal moment. it's more likely that we kind of crept toward it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, and eventually it happened. And it can be that way even if we didn't plan on it being that way. It's just kind of how things go. Taking more time than necessary because we get in our way. Pogo was right. We have met the enemy and he is us. Martin looks back now, and Martin realizes that it took him years longer than necessary. Martin founded this new enterprise, and with history behind him, he's now able to see things more clearly. I could have easily shaved off half the time it took, probably a lot more, all because I found it daunting and I hated every minute of it. That's what Martin says. Martin was trying desperately to get this new enterprise off the ground. It was a period of career transition, but it wasn't like he was going from one area to a completely different area. If you were to look very closely at Martin's resume, you'd think, yeah, okay, this makes sense, no problem. But it was a problem. It was a big problem because Martin struggled to get traction. And it's not because he lacked expertise. He had gobs of that. It's not because he wasn't smart enough. He's crazy smart. Not because he wasn't hardworking, really hardworking. He is hardworking. Truth is, Martin didn't have any really good excuses. In his mind, they were reasons. They weren't excuses. Every day I woke up dreading the work. I hated every minute of it. No wonder I didn't succeed, says Martin. And at some point, Martin got so sick and tired of being sick and tired that he decided to take a close look in the mirror. Martin said, I had to figure out why I was struggling. Martin had heard me and others in this podcast. He had heard me talk about being who you really are. Martin said, I heard you say, if you're not a fish, stop trying to climb trees. Now, let me make a confession. That's not original. The quote, which really isn't a quote, but the quote that you often see out in the interwebs is, everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. That quote, not really a quote from anybody, but it is always attributed to Albert Einstein, who never did say it, never did write it. You can go back to the 1800s, though, and what you can find is you can find countless references and these kind of allegories of animals, obviously born with specific skills, and yet these animals with specific skills, they're not able to do other things beyond their innate ability. Hence, fish can't climb trees. They just can't. Well, Martin, he put in the work to figure out who and what he was. Turns out he was doing what I regularly admonish people to stop doing. He was pushing water up a hill. That is, he was doing everything the hard way. I realize everything can be hard until it's easy, and this was really hard, and Martin was trying to find his way toward easy, but he was going about it all the wrong way, in a way that was not congruent with who he was. In short, Martin was not leveraging his skills. He was not leveraging his resources. He was trying to climb a tree because he had convinced himself that climbing a tree was going to be necessary to achieve his goals. The problem is he was a fish, and fish can't climb trees. And it doesn't matter how much time you give a fish, he's still not going to be able to climb the tree. So Martin got up every day, deploying that work ethic that he has, trying as hard as he could to climb trees. And of course, every day, achieving nothing but failure. And the failure nearly crippled him. He spent more hours than he can calculate berating himself, talking to himself about how stupid he was and about how his plan would never happen and what an idiot he's being. Then something clicked, Martin confesses. I realized it was time to stop doing what I'd been doing because it wasn't working. And it was apparent to me that it would never work. Not my idea, but my methods. So I completely stopped doing what I had been doing. Martin put in the hard work of figuring out what is easy for him. Now, not that it's easy, as in it doesn't require any effort, but easy for him in the sense that he could wake up every morning knowing that he would be doing work that he was ideally suited to do. He discovered the power of forming daily habits that were so easy and so comfortable, yeah, I'm going to use that word, so comfortable that he couldn't avoid doing them. Things that fit him so well that he could easily perform these tasks that would eventually move him forward. Martin reflects back on it, and he says, people talk about getting out of your comfort zone, and I know there's value in that in a certain context, but in another context, it's dangerous and destructive. I was uncomfortable every day and working hard to push through it. I just never could. Stop doing the things that don't work. Business is about leveraging resources. It's about deciding where we are going to put our resources so that we can maximize their return. Why then are you working feverishly in ways that are not bringing about the results you want? Talking yourself into it every day, that's not working. Well, congrats for putting in the work. Congrats for the work ethic, but you're wasting your resources. Mostly, you're wasting your time. Let me give you a few steps. Step one, stop. Stop. Stopping isn't the same as quitting. Martin didn't quit, but he did stop. He stopped doing the things that he wasn't good at, things he hated, things that prevented him from gaining traction. Figure out what isn't working and stop doing it. Don't abandon your goal. You just need to figure out a better way, a way more congruent with who and what you are. Step number three, accurately identify yourself. Are you a fish? Are you a bird? What kind of creature are you? Figure out your natural identity. Now, I'm naturally introverted, but I can look like an extrovert. I can appear like an extrovert. I'm not socially awkward. But going to events and putting myself out there in person is not easy. I can do it, but it's exhausting. Now, more so when it comes to a certain context, and that context is marketing and sales. It just doesn't feel good for me. I get it. It's head trash. I freely admit it. But I can resist it, or I can say it is what it is. Listen, at my age, it is what it is. Now, performing the work, that's all about helping people. And I can be with people all day long serving people, and that charges my batteries. But I can be around people or engaged on the phone with people in marketing or sales efforts. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. Providing value, that's easy for me. Creating content, telling stories that might inspire and help people, that's easy. And so that's what I do. My son is just the opposite. When he started his business, I didn't encourage him to do what I do. Rather, I encouraged him to do just the opposite because that's what's congruent with who and what he is. And guess what? It's working famously. Identify yourself. There's no point in trying to rush forward until you answer this question about who and what you are, because this is going to determine the best actions you can take. Until you know you're a fish, you don't know what you can do or what's naturally easy for you to do. Step number three, figure out the actions that are easy for you. Creating and sharing content, that's easy for me. I love it. I would do it no matter what. I don't do it expecting to sell you something. I do it in hopes that it will help you. And along the way, I'm providing people the opportunity to better understand who and what I am and what I do. Sure, I hope that I bring enough value to some, and it's a very, very, very small percentage of my audience, that they might consider hiring me to serve them. Some do, many and most don't. That's not the point. The point is that I'm able to do this because this is easy for me. And that doesn't mean that I don't have to put in the work. It doesn't mean that I don't have to work hard. It just means that I love putting in the work to do this. I can't avoid doing it. I don't look for excuses to get out of doing it because I love to do it. that's very different than waking up every morning dreading to do something that you think will move you forward. Step number four, start doing what you're good at and what comes more easily to you. I mean, you take those natural talents and you start using them. Lean hard into the things that you love to do and the things that you're good at. Do them with great vigor and enthusiasm. When you remove as much of that dread that you've been living with, if you remove as much of that as possible, you are going to find higher excitement. And you know what happens then? It's contagious. So lean into it. I mean, be even more excited. Do what's natural for you. And step five, keep doing it. It'll work. Be patient. Don't expect overnight success, but do expect to succeed. Keep doing the work because it's what you do best and it's what you love to do. And that doesn't mean that you can't adjust. Man alive, I have adjusted things around here a lot. But the overall work has always, always, always remained the same. I'm still working hard to provide real-world leadership stories and lessons to help you in your business and your life. The basic foundation of what I do here has never changed. It is still about creating the most meaningful content I can to encourage you to push forward. I mean, growing great isn't just some catchphrase, and growgreat.com isn't just some domain name. It's an honest objective that I have for myself and everybody. It's what I expect for you. Okay, here comes a shameless plug. Today's show was brought to you by the Peer Advantage. I am forming a charter group of only 8 small to medium-sized business owners from around America in a virtual mastermind group, if you please. All the details are at thepeeradvantage.com. This is a ridiculously affordable investment in yourself and your business, thepeeradvantage.com. I hope you'll go over there and you'll click that apply now button so that we can at least have a conversation about this. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. Be well, do good, grow great. Lord willing, I'll talk to you next week.